Today is Mental Health Day in Australia. It's an initiative which aims to raise awareness of mental health issues broadly. New research from the Mental Health Council has found more than one in five Australians experience discrimination in the workplace due to mental illness. That's all about stigma and opportunity. And certainly, mental illness can be devastating for any person's life trajectory. Many of you may remember the Sunny Boys. They're a big band, a hit band in the 80s, and their front man was the very talented Jeremy Oxley. Well, Jeremy Oxley has fought a 30-year battle with schizophrenia, which is a debilitating and often misunderstood illness. His fight back to pretty good health has now been chronicled in a new documentary called The Sunny Boy. The director of that is Kay Harrison, and she joins me in the breakfast studios, along with Rob Ramjan, who's the CEO of the Schizophrenic Fellowship. Rob, Kay, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
Thanks, Fran.
Kay, I'll get to the doco in a moment, but Rob, just to start with you, what is schizophrenia? What are its symptoms? I think a lot of us think, oh, it's split personality. It's not that.
Yeah, and it's reasonable that people think split personality. Literally, schizophrenia means split brain. And when the term was first coined, well, over 100 years ago now, the concept was the split from reality, that the person with the illness was living effectively in a different reality to the rest of the world. The symptoms that go with it, look, I should say, schizophrenia probably as an illness doesn't exist. It's probably a cluster of 20 or 30 different illnesses that have very similar symptoms. We just don't have the knowledge base yet to be able to define that. But the symptoms are fairly simple things that most people would understand. Hallucinations, which can affect all five senses. Delusions, thinking things that are not real and they can be paranoid or grand. Thought disorder, which is probably the greatest barrier for people with schizophrenia. The inability to hear what's happening and to communicate back in a realistic way. There are also passive symptoms, things like, which are, person is often blamed for lack of energy, inability to make decisions, those kinds of things. And we often look at those negative symptoms, the passive symptoms, and say it's the person's fault, but it's not, it's the illness.
Those, if you had a number of those things going on at the same time, no wonder lives get derailed. I mean, if you can't make decisions, if you have thought disorder, if you're hallucinating or you're delusionary, I mean, these are, any one of those things will sort of knock you off course.
Absolutely. And even for a person who doesn't have a mental illness, one of the things that we do when we're doing training sometimes is to put voices in people's ears.
Yep.
And we've done that with magistrates, district court judges, and you know, they're very competent people. The longest that anybody seems to be able to put up with the voices, one positive, one negative, two people whispering in their ears while there's a legal interview going on, is about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
So the difficulty for a normal person is extreme. The difficulty for somebody where it doesn't stop is intolerable.
And that notion of hearing voices, it's one you quite commonly hear when you do hear people tell their stories of schizophrenia, which often comes on people later in their teens or early 20s. And you hear stories of a parent perhaps saying, and then I heard them talking to someone and there was no one there, which is very disturbing. It's not an uncommon thing, really. I think the statistic's 1 in 100.
Well, again, even that, when I went to uni up the road here, we were told 1 in 100, and we were told it was the same no matter where you were, socioeconomic, religion, culture. It does vary.
Mm-hmm.
The rates are higher in more urbanised areas than they are in rural areas. There are certain communities, ethnic groups that have a higher vulnerability, and in some places there seems to be concentrations. So two simple ones, there are two places in the world where the rate appears to be well over 10%. The Amish community that featured in the movie Witness virtually has no schizophrenia. So it can vary quite dramatically.
Well, I guess we can draw a lot of things from that. Let's go to Kay Harrison now, the director of the documentary The Sunny Boy. The Sunny Boy follows the journey of Jeremy Oxley. Jeremy was the lead singer in the Sunny Boys in the 80s. They were a hit band. In a way, he's a textbook example of schizophrenia according to the dominant statistics, which is it came upon him when he was a young man. He was succeeding, he was popular, he was creative. And then, as his brother describes it, he was very close to his brother, who was also a band member. He withdrew into himself. And he's then had a 30-year battle with schizophrenia.
Yeah, well, when I came to the story, I really just wanted to honour Jeremy's story, given that everyone's experience of mental illness and schizophrenia is different, as Rob was sort of saying. So I just really tried to empower Jeremy to tell his life story through his own perspective and his own memories. So it was more through that sort of personal frame rather than sort of a study of schizophrenia.
And watching it, it's quite clear that Jeremy for a long time doesn't accept the diagnosis of schizophrenia and certainly doesn't think there's anything wrong with him for it many times along this time frame. Was it difficult for you to persuade him then to do the documentary, and how did that conversation go? Why did he do it?
Well, I was just very upfront what I wanted to do when I approached Jeremy and Mary, that I wanted to make a documentary about his life because I was interested in his experience with schizophrenia, and I was interested because of the lack of understanding about the condition out in the broader community. And I was just very open with him throughout. And he wanted to be part of it. He wanted to tell his own story because I think it's been documented in media from other people, but Jeremy's never really had an opportunity to tell his story himself. So I think we came at it with different perspectives, but we were just very honest with each other throughout and respected each other professionally and personally.
And it's a difficult story to watch. He is taking medication now. He is married. He has a partner, Mary, who is terribly supportive, incredibly supportive, and that's a whole nother story. Rob, I'm sure you've got views on that, on how important the family and the loved ones around someone are. But generally, do you think he's happy to acknowledge the fact that he has schizophrenia? He suffers from schizophrenia now at this point.
Well, it's part of his condition that he doesn't have insight into his condition, which is not always the case for people with schizophrenia, but for Jeremy it is. Sometimes he is able to reflect on it and say, yes, he believes he does, but often he doesn't, and it's a moving feast, really.
Is that common, Rob? To not accept a diagnosis?
Look, the DSM-4R, DSM-5 in America, which defines all of the mental illnesses, added a symptom called anosognosia. The difficulty with the concept of lack of insight is that it blames the person. It's saying, you should have insight. Anosognosia is a condition that is drawn from stroke victims. Somebody has a stroke, they're paralysed down one side of their body, the doctor says, move your left arm, the person says, I did, they didn't. So they've got a different concept of what's going on. People with schizophrenia can have anosognosia. They don't, because of the condition, they don't understand what's actually happening. They're in a different reality.
And that's very hard, and you saw it in the doco on those close to them. Jeremy's family, they were very close growing up, his birth family, super close to his brother. But as he got sicker, the distance between them all got more, and eventually there was a great chasm. And there's a line from Mary, the woman who comes into his life later, where she basically says, I think he needed this love and support and this basically unconditional love of her and her sons to help him get better. That's really struck me. Is that, from your experience, Rob, key to someone getting well?
It's part of the reason why I think this documentary is so wonderful. It is about Jeremy, who's famous, and I suppose if it was about John Smith, people may not be so interested, but the story is a very typical story. The lack, through the documentary, you see the isolation that Jeremy is put in. That lack of stimulation, that lack of meaningful activity adds to the condition. So the care that comes in, the acceptance, is part of what gives him hope and helps him cope with an illness.
And Kay, the documentary culminates with Jeremy appearing live with the Sunny Boys at a comeback concert, which is a great moment. It must have been a huge achievement for him. How has that impacted on him? How's Jeremy now?
Jeremy's just chafing at the bit to perform again.
That's good.
It's been fantastic for him. He's loving being back with the Sunny Boys. They're loving having him back. The fans are absolutely loving it too. So, and he's Pete says he's improvising and playing the guitar like he never has before. So it's not just a comeback, it's, you know, he's really growing from the experience as well.
He's come back in all ways. Well, what a great story. Kay Harrison, Rob Ramjan, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Kay Harrison is director of the documentary film The Sunny Boy, which, as I said, follows the journey of Jeremy Oxley, the lead singer and guitarist of The Sunny Boys, as he emerges from his 30-year battle with schizophrenia. Rob Ramjan is chief executive of Schizophrenia Fellowship. I really recommend this documentary if you can get to see it. It's playing at the Melbourne Palace Kino Cinema tomorrow night and the Canberra Palace Electric Saturday night and Sunday night, and it will be around in more places from that too. So have a look. Kay's champing at the bit to tell me something.
Oh, I just wanted to say we're doing a Q&A with Mary, who will be there in Melbourne on Friday, and Peter will be there in Canberra for the weekend, and we'll be...
That's Peter Oxley, Jeremy's brother.
That's right. So it's a great opportunity to ask questions. And later on in November, it will be going on the ABC.
Good work. Thank you very much, Kay, Rob.
Thanks.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8 minutes to 9.